precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, our friend. Amen. 345, if you grab your songbook again, and we'll go to 345. And then would you, if you would please stand with me once again as we sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. 345. And on that first verse, let's sing it out. What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Thank you for singing out. You may be seated.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control.
Save me,
and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is
Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
When darkness veils my Savior's face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong,
I still lift a salvation song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control.
He saved me,
and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is
Jesus. My hope is Jesus. the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is Jesus.
He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend.
My hope is
Jesus. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
Hope, I pray that your hope is in Jesus, the anchor of my soul. What a great truth, what a great thought. We're going to take our Bibles, if you have them there, and turn to the book of John, chapter number 15. John in chapter 15. I know we've had you stand a few times. If you're not familiar with being around here, we're trying to keep you awake and not getting you falling asleep. That's not really the reason why, but just trying to keep us going a bit. John chapter 15, I'll have you stand again one more time as we read the Word of God, and that's a lie because I think we'll have you stand at the end too. Just preparing you for that. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 11. If you don't have a Bible, just listen and follow along as we read the Word of God this morning. And we'll just stick with this passage here today. Won't have you turning any other places. John chapter 15 and verse number 11. And the Bible says here, I'll read the Word of God as you follow along. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's go to the Word, Lord God, the Lord in prayer this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for this morning, for this singing, the Spirit working on hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help to capture our attention and draw it to the Word of God. Holy Spirit, just help us, Lord, today. Move in a great and a mighty way. Be with all of our services on the property here, and speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray again, if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ as their only way to heaven, today would be that day. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, if you could take a moment, we didn't mention this earlier, but if it would help if you turn your phone off or vibrate or where it's not playing the ringtones for everyone, that would be helpful. And service is not long here, but if you hang out here for a few moments and stay in your seats, that would be helpful if you have to leave. Of course, for medical reasons, things like that would be good. But we're opening the Word of God and getting to the preaching time today. We see the verse here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This, of course, is speaking of Jesus. There is no greater love than the love that Jesus Christ has showed to you and to me. On this Friend Day, we encourage everyone to bring a friend, and you've probably noticed that through the songs that we've sung and all that, speaking about what a friend is. And we sang that song a moment ago, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want to preach a message this morning for a few moments about my best friend. My best friend, Jesus Christ. Many people have many friends in this life, and maybe friends, maybe acquaintances. And I think as a child, thinking about what a friend is as a child, it's really more of like, you know, they live near you, so you're friends, right? You're on the same street, and, you know, for a boy, someone to throw the ball with them. Maybe as a child, your friend is someone that they have the same likes or dislikes that you do. Maybe it's as a child, a friend is someone that they make you feel better about yourself. Or maybe they just don't bully you and lock you up in your locker during school, and that's a friend. Or maybe they get you out of the locker if you got locked in school. But as a child, you have friendships that build, but many times those can kind of seem to come and go over the years. But as an adult, you know, the thought of what a friend is kind of changes into something that's deeper. A friend is someone, I believe, is someone who shares the same beliefs and morals that you do. You have the same belief structure, someone that you choose to be a friend because you're going that same direction in your life. A friend is someone who maybe they care deeply about you and your family. They care for you. Someone has showed themselves a friend to you. A friend is someone who would maybe protect you from evil or harm or not allow something within their capabilities to have harm come upon you, and they'd help you maybe in a time of need. A friend is someone who is willing to forgive and someone that's willing to help to heal and to get things right at times. A friend is someone who helps you in a time of need. A friend is someone who, I wrote this down already, who bakes you cookies. I literally put that in my notes, and someone handed me a plate of cookies. I came into church. It's a real friend right there. We have cookies next door later as well. We'll see how many food references we can get in the message today. A friend is someone who helps you to move when all of your other friends go into hiding, when it's time to move from one house to another. That's when you find who your real friends are. When it's time to move, the ones that show up are the real friends. The ones that don't, they're not the real friends. They didn't help you in your time of need, that most painful process that you get to go through in your life sometimes, it seems. In today's day, people call people friends by who you've friended on social media. And we call people friends sometimes that we barely even know, or you friend someone that you don't even like. I don't understand that one. Why you'd friend someone you don't like, you don't really know. If you saw them on the street, you probably wouldn't recognize them. They wouldn't recognize you. But in the imaginary social media world, you're friends. The character traits of a real friend are really deeper than a like. It's more than a preference, more than something you just care to do with someone else. There's a deep choosing of a friend that matters in your life based on their direction, their belief, their structure. But really, I believe it comes down to this, is do you know Jesus as your friend? Do you know Jesus? As we read in this passage here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I think of all the titles that we refer to God as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Master, as our King, and all the ways that we refer to God, one of them that's most precious is He's my friend. He's my friend. You may not choose your family. You may not choose who you live near, but you can choose if Jesus Christ is your friend. I know this, that God has chosen to show His friendship, His love to you, because He laid down His life for you. Jesus Christ was accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners, the Bible says. Accused of that. Of what His enemies would accuse as an accusation against Him, He would wear as a badge that He was a friend of the publicans, the tax collectors, those that were maybe not dealing truly and right with others, and the sinners, that Jesus Christ was friends with publicans and sinners. I don't know about you, but I fall in the category of a sinner, don't you? Don't you, right? And he was accused by His enemies as a wrong label. Jesus proudly wore that title of being a friend to you and I. Jesus, when He was going to be betrayed, and He went in that Garden of Gethsemane, if you know that passage, and he was praying. He went a little further from the disciples, and He had the great sweat drops of blood, and He knew His time was come to go to the cross. He knew His time had come that He would bear our sins. And He was in agony thinking about that and already prophesying to the disciples that one of them would betray Him. One of the 12 that Jesus chose to be one of His followers. And at the Last Supper, and Judas was that one that He knew would betray Him. And when Judas came to Jesus in the garden, and he came with the soldiers to arrest Jesus, to have Him crucified, Jesus said unto him, friend. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. The one that came to betray His Savior, to betray his Lord, to betray the one that he followed, he would simply, by one word, start out by saying, friend. He would call him friend. I can tell you this, that Jesus has been much more of a friend to me than I've ever been to him. Different people in Scripture, Moses was called the friend of God. But the title of being a friend is something that's special. Maybe you have someone in your life that you would call a dear friend. Someone that you would call morning, noon, or night with whatever the need may be, and you could share your heart with them. Or if you have a need, they would come to be by your side to help you, that true friend. Sometimes a friend may come and go based on where you live near them or different phases of life or different directions in your life. But I want to tell you again this morning, as I mentioned, about my best friend, Jesus. Jesus Christ is a friend. Let me tell you about him today. I want to tell you about Jesus because, why? He's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. He's walked with me through the valleys. He's walked with me on the mountaintops. He's the best friend that anyone could ever have. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's that friend that's dearer than anyone else. His friendship is not exclusive. You know, some where you say, I can be friends with this person, but no one else can be friends with them. I think the girls do that more than the boys. I'm not sure, but that's what I've been told. But Jesus Christ has chosen to be a friend of sinners and to give his life for us. Let me tell you about Jesus today. Jesus is perfect and holy. You'll have no other friend like Jesus. He's the only one that truly is perfect and holy. You may have a friend that you would say that they're the best, they're the greatest. But we all have our failures, don't we? We all have our mistakes, that we're sinners, but Jesus Christ is perfect, that he is holy. He cannot go against his holiness, his perfection, that will never change. He is perfect. Jesus is loving, isn't he? Jesus is loving. He loves you more than anyone could ever love you. He loves you more than any person could ever fathom to love you. Jesus' love is immeasurable. He loves you that much. He is kind. He will never do you wrong. He will never hurt you. He will always be there for you. Have that friend that says they'll always be there for you until the time that you really need them and they don't answer the phone. You know the person that answers every text and every call, and that one time you need them, they're nowhere to be found? Jesus Christ is always there for you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Bible says. Most importantly, he wants to be with you in heaven. He wants to be with you for all eternity. He is a friend that wants to be with you. And he did everything possible in his power to save your soul on his side, and the other part is ours. He took your punishment on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. He wants to give you the greatest gift in all the world. That's the gift of salvation. Greater than any earthly possession you could ever have, greater than any friendship you could ever have, the salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. He wants to be with you for all eternity. He gave his life for you. Think about Jesus. Jesus who came from heaven, the Son of God that came to earth. He took on human flesh. And he was nailed to that cross. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He went through that for our sins. He did that for you and me. He was nailed on that cross, and it was a brutal sight. He did that for you and me. You may think, does God even know me? Does God even know where I am? Does he even know my name? I can tell you this, that God loves you. That God knows exactly where you are, and God wants for you to be with him in heaven. He's chosen you to be his friend, and he's shown his love to you. But have you received that gift of salvation that he has offered to you? God's love is immeasurable. I want to encourage you with a couple of thoughts today with this, that Jesus Christ, he has reached out his hand for salvation to you. He has shown his love. He's sacrificed. He's shown himself a friend to you. But he will not force salvation or his friendship, a relationship with God. That part is your choice. You know this, that you can't force anyone to love you. You can't force anyone to like you. You can't force them to be with you, unless if it's your children maybe. And then they have to be with you. But Jesus Christ will never force it on you. It's a choice. But God has reached out his hand. If you think about that as a friend, you'd go to shake someone's hand or to give them a hug, and you'd show yourself a friend to them. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you. On that cross that Jesus reached out for you. He created you. He knows you by name. He knows exactly where you are. And He wants to be with you in heaven for all eternity. I want to give you a few thoughts today. Is this how you can make Jesus your friend? Number one is this: understand how much God loves you. Friend, today I want to remind you how much God loves you. You know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Amen? That God so loved the world, the Bible says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When God looks down and He looks at this world, His love was beyond what could be put on page and pen and put on paper, because He loves you that much. You think, but you don't know what I've done. God does, and He still loves you. Isn't that incredible? He knows what you've done, where you've been, what you've thought or intended to do. He knows all that, and He still chose to love you. He still came to die and pay for your sins. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And to know the love of Christ, the Bible says, that passeth knowledge. It's beyond my human comprehension how much God's love is for me. Do you realize that today, how much God loves you? How much He cares for you? Even though you're a sinner, Christ died for you. He loved you even though for some he knew would reject Him someday. He died for them as well. Do you understand how much God loves you today, friend? Do you know how much God cares for you? It's beyond what I could ever describe to you. 20 years ago last month, my wife and I got married, and I told her earlier that year that I loved her and pledged to spend the rest of my life with her. And I love her and my children more than anything or anyone in this world. But that love that I have for them is nothing compared to the love that God has for me and the love that God has for you. It's beyond what we'll ever know in a human relationship. That's how much God loves you. Do you know that today? Can you understand or fathom that somewhat, how much God loves you? Number two, understand that even though God loves you and realized you're a sinner, He still died in your place. You realize that the cross that Jesus died on, He did not deserve that punishment, did He? He didn't deserve that punishment. He didn't deserve that ridicule. He was beaten. He was stripped naked, a crown of thorns pushed on His head, His beard ripped out. He was beaten. All that He went through for you. He paid for my punishment. It only takes one sin to be a sinner. And the Bible says, we know this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. God knows that. I know that I'm a sinner. Don't amen that point, by the way. But God knows that we're sinners, but He knows this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. I'm a sinner and I don't deserve heaven. There's no way I could work my way there. There's no works that you could do to ever make it to heaven on your own. You couldn't build a building high enough to get to heaven. You couldn't get in a spaceship high enough to get to heaven. You couldn't teleport or transport there in any way. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, He said. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. God looked at you and I in our sinful condition and saw that you and I are hopeless. You realize that? That we're hopeless. No hope of heaven. No hope of having our sins forgiven. No hope but by Jesus Christ. If there was another way, God would have given you that other way. But it is only, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, the Bible says, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. There's no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. Understand, God loves you, that Jesus died in your place. He gave His life for you. Could you imagine that you had a punishment and that you were on death row and that you were about to face the end of your life for the sin, the crime that you had done? But then at the last moment, someone stepped in and took your place and said, I'll die for you. I'll give my life for you. I'll take your place. That's what Jesus did so that we don't have to ever spend a moment in a place called hell. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. I mentioned that already, but there is no other way but by the way of Jesus Christ, that God sent his only begotten Son to earth, perfect, sinless, holy. If he had even committed one sin, he could not have paid for our sins, could he? If he had even committed one sin, he couldn't have paid for ours. But he's sinless, perfect, holy, and he came to die for us to take our place. The sad thing is this, that many people think, well, I've never asked Jesus to come to my heart, but I have my own way. I want you to think about this for a minute. The house that you live in, all right? The home that you live in, if someone wants to come in your home, they have to have your permission, don't they? If someone comes and knocks on my door this afternoon and says, I want to come in your house, I'm the one that decides if they come in or not. They're not coming in any other way, but if I let them come in, if they come in another way, we're going to have problems, all right? But it's my home, right? I'm the owner, or working at being the owner of the house. And if they want to come to my house, if they come in without my permission, that's called what? That's called trespassing, right? They've broken the law. They are legally not allowed in my home, but by my permission. The same thing for heaven. The only way to heaven is but by Jesus Christ. The way that he paid, the Bible calls him the door. He's the door. He is the door, the one way to heaven, but by Jesus Christ. You realize this, there is no religion that will ever get you to heaven. There's no church attendance that will get anyone into heaven. There's no amount of prayers you can say just by saying a prayer that is going to get you to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. And then lastly today, you must realize that you must ask God to come into your heart to save you. You know, the Bible calls salvation as a gift. I don't know anyone that doesn't like a present, do you? A birthday present, a Christmas present, or just a present for no reason at all. And I don't know anyone that doesn't like that kind of a gift. But the gift of salvation that's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, that only he gives, you realize this, it's free. Isn't that great? There's not much in this life that's free to anyone or anything. Someone has paid for it, but they've offered it to you. That gift of salvation by Jesus Christ, it was paid for by his blood, and it's offered and it's given to you if you'll simply receive it. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. As a 9-year-old boy, I realized that I was lost. I realized that I had never asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart to forgive me of my sin. I remember the night I realized I'm a sinner. I remember that night I realized that if I died that night, I deserve to spend eternity separation from God in a place called hell. The Bible calls that the wages or the punishment for sin. I remember the night I was worried, I was troubled about that I'd never asked Jesus to save me, come into my heart. The next day in church, didn't have to be in church, but the next day in church, I thought, man, at the end of the service, they have an invitation time, as we will at the end. And I remember the preacher said, if you want to be saved and ask God to come into your heart, you slip your hand up and you come to the front and someone will show you how to go to heaven. I thought, I need to do that. I've never made that decision in my life. And I remember the invitation began and the piano played and they said, if you want to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come forward? And I went forward and I was as shy and as backward of a kid as you could imagine. If you said my name, I would blush. I would try hiding. I would try to get away from it any way, shape, or form. But I did not want to miss the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. The piano began to play, the invitation began, and I came forward and a man took me to a side room and showed me from the Word of God how I could be saved. I bowed my head and I closed my eyes and simply by faith believed in my heart and called out to God and asked God to save me that day. I remember that day that salvation came into my heart, to my life. The Bible calls that being born again. You have a new life. You have a new eternity, a new home in heaven that God has prepared just for you. Do you know that today? Is there a specific time in your life where you realize I'm a sinner? I don't deserve heaven. I could never work my way there. There's no rituals I can go through. The only way you go to heaven is by faith in Jesus. And in one moment in time, you bowed your head, closed your eyes, and asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior. Have you ever done that? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's free. All you have to do is receive it. He's paid for it. He's offered it. Why? Because He would love to be your very best friend. He's done everything possible for you to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But it's your choice, and you have two choices. It's this, to say yes or no to God. It's only one of two choices. Saying later is saying no to God. Would you trust in Jesus Christ today? I want to encourage you with this thought. We don't know how long that we have in this life. I have no guarantee for tomorrow, and neither do you. I'm not scaring you with that thought. It's just a reality. We don't know if we have tomorrow. And if you were to go into eternity today or tomorrow, do you know that you would be in heaven? Do you know you'd be there? It's only by faith in Jesus Christ, accepting Him into your heart. We're going to have a word of prayer now and have an invitation time with head bowed and eyes closed. As I mentioned already, with head bowed and eyes closed, just for a few moments, do you know 100% sure that you know that you're on your way to heaven? Can you remember the day that you bowed your head and closed your eyes, that you prayed and asked God to save you, not by giving your life to God, not by turning your life around, but by simply calling out to God and asking God to come into your heart and save you? If you've never made that decision before, would you make that decision today? Today. As we mentioned today, I want to be a friend to you. The greatest news in all the world I could ever tell you is about how to go to heaven. The greatest person I could ever introduce you to in all the world is to introduce you to the God that saved me. If you don't know you're saved, I want to give you an opportunity right where you're seated to accept Christ. You can have a word of prayer right where you're seated. We'll have the piano hold off for a few moments. You must realize this, that I'm a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. And then number three, realize that God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die to pay for your sins so you could have a home in heaven. And then fourthly, you must believe that He is the only way to heaven in your heart, and you must call out to Him and ask Him to save you. If you've never made that decision today, would you trust in Jesus Christ alone? Right where you're seated quietly, you don't have to say anything out loud. The Bible says you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and receive that gift of salvation. With no one looking around, would you say, Pastor Becker, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I've never in one moment asked Jesus Christ to save me. But today I'd like to make that decision. With no one looking around, please, for privacy, this is the most important part of the service, the most important part of the day. If you've never trusted in Christ and you would say, I don't know that I'm saved, but today I'd like to make that decision, would you right now, with no one looking around, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. I promise in no way. Would you slip your hand up and say, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but today I'd like to pray and ask God to save me. I see that hand in the back. Thank you. Is there another? It takes an honest person. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. It takes an honest person to say, I'm a sinner. I know me. I see that hand. Is there another? I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not good enough to go to heaven because I'm not perfect. But I know that Jesus is the only way. Is there another? I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. There's been four or five that raised their hand. I see that hand. Is there another? I don't know that I'm saved. I see that hand. Today, would you bow your head and close your eyes by faith, calling out to God? The Bible says you must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and simply ask God to save you. You don't have to pray out loud. God can hear you in your heart and your mind. And by faith, the best you know how, would you pray to God and say a prayer like this, from your heart to God, and say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I don't deserve a home in heaven, but please forgive me of my sin. Save my soul from hell. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. With no one looking around again, we're almost done with this moment. Thank you for your attention. If you say right now, the best I know how, I pray and I ask God to come into my heart and save me for the first time, would you slip your hand up? And no one's looking around. We won't call you out. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony and say, today I ask God to save me for the first time. I pray and ask God to come to my heart. I see that hand. Is there another? I see that hand. Is there another one today? Say, there was quite a few that were raised earlier. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you have a question about that. You'd say, today I ask God to save me. Is there another? Amen. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? We are going to have a brief invitation time. The piano will begin to play. If you'd like, you may come forward and pray at an old-fashioned altar. You can stay in your seats if you'd like as well. If you need someone to pray with, you can see Brother James here right in the front. If you have a question about that matter of salvation, I encourage you to come forward. With head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around.